Oh, man, I didn't have to ask you twice. This is great. All right, are you ready to hear from the word of the Lord this morning? All right. So, we are in a series called what?
Walking with Jesus.
Now, how have you enjoyed hearing from all of the different elders? Yes, 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 yes. When I see people bestowed with membership, serving in the church, men up here stepping out of their comfort zone, doing what God has called them to do, I get excited. So if I'm a little amped up this morning, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to deal with it. So in week one, PD presented Jesus incarnated on earth, which gave us some important implications about Jesus coming to earth in the flesh, living here in human form. In week two, Ryan shared Jesus prepared for ministry, and we got to learn some lessons in the areas of obedience and growth. On week three, Nick covered Jesus commissioned by the Father, and how we should approach the mission that our Father has for us. Week four, Jeff delivered Jesus tempted in the wilderness and some crucial actions that we can take to combat the temptations that we will face. Because let me tell you, we will face them. In week five, Aaron presented Jesus recognized as the Lamb of God and the importance of understanding our spiritual identity. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about Jesus called his first disciples. We're going to be back in the book of John this morning. We're going to be in chapter 1, where we will find a repeatable process developed that can just transform the way that we do disciple making. Absolutely transform the way that we do disciple making. Now, how many of you are familiar, whether it be with your jobs at school, having a job aid, an instruction manual, a step-by-step procedure, and how they can dramatically improve how we would achieve the goal that we're set out to do? Just like anything in life, whether it be your job at work, whether it be a sport that you love, or whether it be a musical instrument that you play, there are crucial steps and mechanics that we all work on and try and perfect so we are great at our craft, right? We want to be good at what we do. So, at your tables this morning, I'm going to give you a little conversation time, and I want you to talk about a couple of things. One, where that instruction manual or the job aid saved the day and it helped you reach the goal that you had set or the task that was given to you. Or maybe you chose not to follow the instruction manual. Ladies, have you ever been driven to the point where you wanted to slap up your husband because he refused to look at the instructions? So this morning, talk about some of those experiences that you have had, how they've helped you, or maybe how it may have hurt someone because you didn't follow the instructions. Go ahead. I'll give you several minutes to talk that over amongst yourselves. I'm going to go ahead and let you finish up real quick. It's fun walking around and listening and talking with people, and Yeah, I didn't mean to bring up anything that would challenge anybody's marriage this morning, but again, we're going to be in John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be covering verses 35 through 43. And in these verses, we're going to find six principles for effective disciple making. Because you all realize that's what we're here for, right? All right, if you didn't know, you know today, we're here to be disciple makers. All right, principle number one, a commitment to basic community and fellowship. And we see this in verse 35. In verse 35, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And some of you would say, what do I get out of that? But we see John and the boys at it again. And when you talk about the word disciple, it usually means follower, apprentice, which means what? A time investment, right? In order to learn what they need to learn, they needed to spend time with John. And they understood the importance of people and the community that God had planted them in, and it was evident in their investment that they made in their relationships and interactions. We don't want to be shallow people, right? We want to be real and authentic. And the sooner that we understand that disciple making is a team sport, the better off we will be. I'll say it again. Disciple making is a team sport because teamwork is at the heart of Christianity. And in order for any team to be effective, I think we can all agree that a team needs to have dedicated and loyal participants. Because there's always the squeaky wheel or the weakest link. And if we're not pulling our weight, we're not going to be successful, correct? All right. Principle number two, a visibly active and authentic lifestyle. Now in verse 36, it says, when he saw Jesus, this being John, passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. John actively pointed people to Jesus. John didn't hoard Jesus for himself. He lived out the calling that God had given him, and he desired other people to know Jesus. So when we talk to people, let's make sure we're elevating Jesus and not a church, not a ministry or a program within the church, and not the personnel of that ministry. Do you know what drives Grace Church? Jesus. Do you know what drives the worship team? Jesus. Do you know what drives the prayer team? Jesus. Thank you. Do you know what drives the welcome team? Jesus. All right, I think we're getting it. We can move on to principle number three. A willingness to leave our comfort zone for the faith zone. None of us likes change. In verse 37, it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Something we have to understand, the disciples had spent a lot of time with who? John. So they're leaving their comfortable relationship with John the Baptist now to follow Jesus. Have you ever had a new supervisor? Maybe at school you've gotten a new teacher. And people are telling you, oh, you're going to love this person. They're great. And before the first week is over, you're huddled under your desk, crawled into a fetal position. Some of you maybe with your thumb in your mouth, asking God to get you out of here, right? But the disciples displayed their faith. They set aside what they knew and faithfully pursued a cause bigger than themselves. That's another realization we have to understand. This journey we take together, walking with Jesus, is not about me. We're in this together, and we have a task that we've been given. So, a couple of questions, just to make you think. What have you left or given up to follow Jesus? It's good for us to do self-evaluation. Are you living any differently now that you have claimed to be a Christian? Fair questions, right? Good questions that we should probably ask ourselves periodically. Self-evaluation is very helpful. All right, principle number four. A genuine desire to know, to grow, and to go for Jesus. In verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus replied, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Now, the disciples, wanting to know where Jesus was staying, showed their desire. It's appropriate that we're talking about the heart this morning. Their desire to have access to Jesus and spend time with him. Now, Jesus welcomed them. Come and see. How often do we, in our interactions with people, maybe not give out where we live? Because if they know where we live, we may not be able to get rid of them, right? But we see from Jesus, actively welcome them. And they also understood, in wanting to spend time with Jesus, what is one of our most precious resources? Time. We've only got so much of it. Time is one of our most precious resources. And they knew they needed to spend time with Jesus. And making the most of that time that we have, whatever it is, that little pinprick on an eternity is our life. Making the most of the time we've been given is necessary for us to really have any impact. Principle number 5. A sincere desire to see people begin a relationship with Jesus. In verse 40, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. See, Andrew was so excited that he had to go tell his brother right away. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop and lord over the fact that he had been in the presence of Jesus. Another good question we can ask ourselves, have you ever held back information for your own benefit? Pretty sure a lot of hands would probably be going up right now. Most of us have. But Andrew didn't do that. He brought his brother right to Jesus instead of looking after his own agenda. And that brings us to principle number 6. An intentional strategy to multiply our lives. In verse 43, it says, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now we see Jesus leading the way, taking that repeatable process of calling others to follow, and he begins the multiplication process that will change the world. Jesus begins that multiplication process that changes everything. Because that's our purpose too. We are under the expectation to take that repeatable process and put it into practice. And repeating that process, helping others to learn to do the same wherever God may take them. We've had friends come. We've had friends go. But the hope is that in the time that they were here, we've built a relationship that hopefully prepared them to go where God is taking them and have an impact for Him. And this is where disciple making really meets its peak effectiveness. When the multiplication turns into explosion. Because I am one person. Nick, you are one person. Matt, you are one person. But if we take a repeatable process and we help people get to the point where they can go out and do it themselves and then teach somebody else to go out and do the same thing, the effectiveness that we will see for God's kingdom, it can explode. Sometimes we have such low expectations on what God can do in our lives. If we're being honest with ourselves, we have pretty low expectations. And sometimes we don't realize what the power of the Holy Spirit in God's people who are obedient can do in a community, in a state, in a nation, and across the world. Let's raise our expectations. Trust in a holy God that can do what? All things. That can do all things. Now, we've seen six principles. Gary, what do I do with the six principles? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to look at four actions that we can take. Application. I hope you all like application because that means you got to walk out of here today. And the expectation is that you're going to do something with the information, right? So let's take these principles and let's just go over some practical actions that we can take together. First action that we can take, and Andrew did this. You'll see Andrew taking the repeatable process and doing it himself. Start your ministry immediately. I don't know if you know this, but the disciples that were called were infants in the faith, mere babes. Fishermen, tax collectors. I mean, we're not talking about the educated elite. So if you're sitting in your chair today and you're feeling a little less than you think is required, I got news for you. We see Jesus using ordinary people. So there's no reason for us to wait. There is no reason for us in our fear, in our anxiety, and the feelings of inadequacy that we have to wait. Because this process that we've been looking at is pretty simple. Our willingness. Now hear me, our willingness. Talking about the heart today. Our willingness to be obedient to what we have been called to do, allows the Holy Spirit to do incredible things through ordinary people. Have you ever had somebody surprise you? I'm talking about that person that you look at and you're like, oh Lord, that is not a basketball player. And then they get out on the court and you're like, oh no,
that guy just smoked me. We tend to underestimate people, do we or do we not? But the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of someone who is obedient and just following simple steps that we can follow together can do incredible things. And we don't have to spend 4+ years of education for us to have an impact for Christ. Don't get me wrong. Study is great. But that study without action is what? Useless. We can have all of the head knowledge in the world. We can be one of the most wisest people that our family knows. But if that doesn't get put into action, what good is it? So I challenge you, in your home groups, in your mentoring, soak up that knowledge. Absolutely, soak up that knowledge. But if that knowledge doesn't turn into a change in the way you live and take in some of these simple actions, it's probably time to do some self-evaluation. All right, action number 2. Seek people individually. So initiating and nurturing relationships that build trust and credibility require time and commitment. Are you more apt to trust someone and follow them if they're real with you? If you've had time to really get to know who that person is? If I walk up to you and say, come follow me, and you don't know who I am, how are the odds that you're actually going to just leave what you were doing and follow me? Now, understand, while the disciples turned and followed Jesus, they had an understanding of who he was, all right? So, making those connections, investing time into relationships with other people is critical. See, I'm a gamer. I'm one of those people that occasionally will spend 1, 2, 3 hours at a time behind my television mashing buttons. Now, yes, I've heard the people say, yeah, you can build relationships online. And you're right, you can. But it gets really real when you're there with them, in their midst, rubbing shoulders. So don't be afraid to get out there. Build relationships with people. Because I don't know if you know, whether you're playing video games or you're learning a new sport like disc golf. I love disc golf. I can go out and play disc golf by myself. But guess what? It's just not as fun. So getting out, meeting new people, spending time. Because the last year here, and we'll see if you remember, we spent a lot of time focused on 3 things. What was the first one? Yes. What was the second? Very good. Third? Now, because you remember them, you're all out there doing them, right? Right? Thank you. We don't spend time trying, and repetition, I know, just like kids. Every time we have to tell our kid to go clean their room or whatever it is, hearing it over and over and over again. But I don't know if you've read the Bible. The Israelites had to hear over and over and over and over again, obey my commands, right? So please, don't take it like I'm beating you over the head. My hope is that you will be encouraged, because when we talk about walking with Jesus, I want to take that journey with you. The The other critical, important part of building relationships, I don't know if you figure this out, there are a lot of people who need Jesus. And I don't know if you can remember the time when you first met Jesus, what state you were in, how lost you may have felt. And someone took the time to tell you about him. And I'm guessing it changed your life because you're still here. And that's on us. We're called to do the same. All we have to do is look around, and God will provide ample opportunity for him to use us. Would you agree? Yes. All right. Action number 3. Share your story impassionedly. How many of you ever heard that word? Impassionedly. If not, yes, it is. It's a real word. I have a definition here for you as well. It means filled with intense feeling or passion. Passionate. Intense. It's not easy to open yourself up and be vulnerable. Can we agree? So I know some people are gushers. I know some people just spew forth. But overall, it is not easy to open yourself up and share what's going on in here. But opening ourselves to express the passion and gratitude that we have for what Jesus has done in our life can have a powerful impact in someone else's life. Just sharing the facts can work. If I were to walk up to you and I were to say, Jesus saved me. I mean, it could work, right? Maybe they would ask me, what do you mean Jesus saved you? Well, there they've opened up the floodgates and now I get to tell them. But if we're honest with ourselves, in our honesty, we're probably going to find that most people will truly respond in a more open conversation. Maybe that person has gotten to share the struggles that they're going through, the things that they're dealing with. And I can pretty much guarantee that that person will respond better if I were to look at them and say, I was in a dark place once. You want to know what changed all of that for me? Jesus. I don't know if I'd have made it without him. I think it's going to be a lot easier for someone to reciprocate, to be able to relate and understand what you're talking about if they know that it comes from your heart, right? Just sharing the facts can sometimes come across cold and uncaring. It's all around the room today, all about our heart. Because if God is going to make an impact with our life and somebody else's life, our heart has to be in it. And I don't mean to make that somber challenge to you, but yeah, I do. I really do. And you don't have to be worried about it, because you are surrounded by a host of people that are ready to go through that with you. We have to take responsibility for our own personal and family growth. Agreed? We have to take responsibility. It's not PD's responsibility to come knocking on your door and say, have you read your Bible yet today? I should probably see if he will do that. I would get great joy, PD, come knocking on your door, seeing you in your pajamas, saying, hey, have you read your Bible today? It's our responsibility. You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's got to be here. It has to be here. The fourth action that we can take, staying with him intentionally. If we're going to have any impact in our calling, we must remain in Jesus for him to remain in us. See, walking with Jesus step by step is how we can give ourselves even a small chance to reach the full potential for him. And when we take that responsibility upon ourselves, we build strong relationships with people, we invest of our time. I've already told you one area where I soak a little too much time into. Are you guys willing to air your dirty laundry and tell me you stream too many shows? Are you a binger? I know there's bingers in here today. I know there are bingers in this room today. So if we're going to be real with each other, if we're going to be able to do something special for God, we have to take responsibility upon ourselves. Now, I don't want you to get afraid. We've covered 6 principles, and your head might be spinning. We have paper notes that you get to write on. I don't know if you know, you can get to the event on your phone. Because our phone, guess what? It's basically attached to us, right? Which means we have no excuse. We can watch the sermons over again through YouTube. I mean, you guys did know we have a YouTube channel, right? You can watch the sermons again. With the Bible app, you can even save the notes. They write them all out. You can plug notes of your own into the different sections within the online notes. And guess what? There's a little save button at the top, which means some of those papers that I misplace, that I lose track of, that I might want to go back to sometime in the future, it's all on here. All I got to do is go back to the Bible app, I go to events, and oh, I can look at current events, or I can look at saved events. And your saved events have everything in there. So utilize the tools that we have. Grace Church has also given you tools. Who can name me some of those tools? Yeah, we have classes here, right? How about Aaron, you teach classes? Wouldn't you like better participation in your classes? Absolutely. Ryan teaches classes. The same guys that come up here and give of their time and themselves, step out of their comfort zone, are hoping that you'll step out of your comfort zone too and take a class. It could be something as simple as the financial classes that we offer. All of us could use help in that area, right? What are some of the other stuff? I'm not going to spew it to you because by now we should know. Mentoring? Home group? Ooh, home groups. If you want to get real and build good relationships with people, and you're going to have some fun along the way, let me tell you, You're going to have some fun along the way, because home groups, one of the biggest goals I have in some of the home groups that I've led is where we can get to that point where we confess our sins one to another. If I haven't gotten to that point in my home group, I feel like I haven't reached my goal or hit the mark. Because I want us to get to the point where we can say, this is the area that I'm struggling in. And there shouldn't be any shame there. Because if there's somebody here that looks me in the eye and tells me they're not struggling with something, what's PD say? Smack, smack. We're all struggling with something. Every single one of us. We have classes, mentoring, home groups. What else? Yeah, we do outreach events all the time. Wednesday nights. I've been here to a lot of them. And I haven't seen too many of you here. That's not a guilt trip. I understand everybody has their schedules. But what I want you to think about is all of these opportunities that Grace does to try and help you be successful, it is imperative that we take advantage of as many of them as we can. What is intimidating about coming here on a Wednesday night, inviting somebody, drinking coffee, and playing games? Somebody help me out. What's intimidating about that? Something simple like that, though, can connect you with someone that eventually may don these doors. Or you, just in your interaction, just like Andrew did, in seeking out individuals and getting to know them, and you get that opportunity to share Jesus with them. Things will never be the same. Things will never be the same. I get it. Asking you to step out of your comfort zone and do something that scares the living daylights out of you, walking up to somebody new. Oh, you should see the look on my wife's face when we go hiking. Because I am scanning, looking for the opportunity for me to talk to somebody. And in my ear is Tracy, just leave them alone and let them hike. And yes, I'm sure there are some of those people that I will strike up a conversation with that in the back of their mind, they're saying, man, I hope this guy shuts up so we can enjoy the views. But I've also had the people that at that moment where the conversation is initiated, they're talking my ear off. We ran into a young lady in Colorado while we were hiking in the mountains all by herself. Scary. Was that Siri? Okay. So, I'm a little worried she knew that we met a lady hiking in the mountains. So we kind of tracked where this young lady was hiking. And I want to think that it made her hike a little bit better. I may never know if it would ever have had any impact. But sometimes those little things, you just don't know. You just don't know. And if you're struggling and you're intimidated about building new relationships with people and getting to know people, or you may just feel like you're not qualified. This right here is one of the most important things I need you to understand this morning. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All. Now, you all get to make your own choices. I won't hold that against you. But God's desire is for all to be saved. So if you're feeling a little inadequate, maybe unwanted, Ed Noss, I'd like you to stand up. Look at him shaking his head. See, I just made him step out of his comfort zone. Brother, you've been called. God wants you. You can have a seat. Jackie, stand up for me, will you please? I have come to hug you. Sister, you've been called.
Yes, I am.
And God wants you. Robert Shills, get your butt out of your seat. Brother, you've been called, and God wants you.
Thank you.
Now, I could walk around this room and do that same thing with each and every one of you. And if that's what I've got to do to get people to understand that an almighty, holy God can take every single person in this place and have an impact through you into someone else, if I've got to do that, I will do that. If you need help in working out these six principles and taking these four actions, I am here, ready, and prepared to help you. The staff is here for you. Your church family is here for you. Because if we're going to walk with Jesus step by step and even try and reach the potential that He has for each and every one of us, I know a lot of people that say, I don't need no church. It's just me and God. I think Jesus would say otherwise, or else He would not have invested the time that He had here on earth so intimately with a group of guys to try and prepare them for when He was going to be gone. Because guess what? PD's not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. Your staff is not going to be here forever. But my hope is that Grace Church will go on, no matter who's behind that mic, no matter who's up here delivering the sermons, no matter who's back there doing the sound, or whoever comes in these doors and cleans the church, that we're passing on what people are going to need to have an impact for Christ. Can we agree on that? Let me pray for you. God, for your people this morning, I pray that each and every one of us just opens our heart and opens it wide. Search us. See if there's anything unwholesome in us, Lord. I ask your blessing on your people here today and to those that may be listening online. Lord, put the right people in our life to help us take this journey together. Help us to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth and seek out help. Unashamedly seek out help and use the tools that we have been given to have an impact for you and your kingdom, where we're going to get to spend eternity with you and all of the people that we take with us. And we thank you for it, for you are so good. so good. Amen. Now I hope you're ready to lift up your voices and praise Him this morning.